Hey guys, Michael Tazzani here. Welcome to day 26 of CryptoLife 365. So Bitcoin price dropped recently, not too much, but you probably noticed it went from 8,000 to about 7,500. And part of the reason for the drop may have been recent reports about the Justice Department is going in to investigate some, as they're claiming, unsavory trading practices where perhaps the market of Bitcoin was manipulated by some traders who were pumping the price up and then dumping the price down in order to make money on the volatility. Some of the articles have been describing this as the adults are now getting into the system to kind of look at it, to regulate it, to make sure it's all run above board. But that's not really how Bitcoin is supposed to work or is designed to work. In fact, actually, look at the entire Bitcoin ecosystem as the adults are the ones who have been here since almost the beginning, and the adults are the ones who are making decisions on their own, who are trading on their own, who are learning and from their mistakes on their own, and basically are grown up enough to handle themselves. Whereas the Justice Department and other government agencies here, they're not so much adults as like kids who felt like they got left out and are now trying to force themselves back into the system because they think that they should be allowed to participate and control it in some way. But Bitcoin doesn't actually work in the way that they want it to. Specifically, one of the core features of Bitcoin that is often mentioned is the term is legislative arbitrage, which means that whatever legislation may be passed against Bitcoin or in the designed to control Bitcoin, Bitcoin will find ways around it. And a lot of decentralized platforms, open source platforms, are set up like that. Like, for example, BitTorrent. BitTorrent was created to skirt restrictions on sharing information, sharing media, sharing files. And whatever laws were created to try to enforce or stop BitTorrent, it was fairly simple for BitTorrent to get around in ways that even though legislation existed, there was no way to enforce it. And that's one of the reasons that BitTorrent became so popular and successful right now. In the same way, even if regulators come up with some laws or legislation to regulate how trades happen, the problem is that Bitcoin is global, so legislation only extends out to the borders. Excuse me. And legislation only works for against centralized parties. For example, a business, a person located in one spot where all the trading is going on. Bitcoin, on the other hand, actually allows for decentralized trading. So it's actually possible to have people trade with each other, even if they're in different parts of the world, without actually relying on a single intermediary. The entire trading system, just like Bitcoin itself, could be decentralized. Now, this doesn't work quite so well with trading Bitcoin for dollars yet. We are working on developing such a system, but it is coming. And for the rest of the cryptocurrency, there are already a few decentralized exchanges available out there. So even though the Justice Department stepped in and said that there's an issue and we want to put a stop to this issue, there's pretty much nothing that they can actually do to stop it. Nor do I think that they should stop it, because one of the big kind of political and economic issues that have actually arisen in a lot of countries that have these such regulations is that people begin to rely too much on the regulators. They start to trust government agencies to take care of them and not to screw things up. So they go to a grocery store, they buy some lettuce, they assume that there's a regulator who is taking care of making sure that there's nothing bad in the lettuce, and next thing you know, they get sick with E. coli or some other terrible disease, and they, even after that, they don't learn their lesson. They don't actually try to investigate where this food comes from on their own. They just keep assuming that the legislation, the regulatory body, will continue to do their job. And worse thing is, they don't even hold these agencies accountable. And in the same way, regulators are supposed to, for example, keep tabs on kind of illegal investments or Ponzi schemes or illegal accounting. They were trusted to do their job. People assumed that they were doing their job when they gave Enron a thumbs up. So a lot of people invested in Enron, trusting regulators, and the regulation failed. In the same way, when the whole banking crisis happened, people trusted government agencies to keep track of banks, make sure banks are all solvent and there are no issues. Just kept putting their money into banks and into various real estate investments, just assuming that everything was good. And as we all know, everything was very much not good. 2008 happened, the whole system crashed. Interestingly enough, again, nobody on the regulating side who was supposed to actually prevent this stuff from happening in the first place was ever held accountable. In Bitcoin, we've actually have had, since it was kind of a wild west, it still is, and throughout the years that I've been in it, we have actually had quite a lot of scams, pyramids, Ponzi, stuff like that. But the thing is that these things come out as kind of fads where people start these. At one point, it was like high yield investment. And sorry about that, somebody tried to call me. So, we have had issues in Bitcoin, and they come out kind of in waves where somebody comes up with this idea like, hey, you can invest in so and so and you'll make a lot of money. Other people try to copy them. People try to invest in these things thinking they're good ideas, but then people learn their lessons. They know that, oh, this is actually a stupid idea. There's no way that this would actually work. And as a result, these scams kind of almost go out of style or out of fashion. Like the things that happened before typically never repeat themselves. Or if they do, they do it on a very, very small, insignificant scale because people learn their lesson on their own. And this has actually happened probably at least five times that I can think of at this point. And the current issues with markets being pumped and dumped, especially with smaller currencies, that's going to go away because people learn their lesson. Same for ICOs. People are raising a lot of money on coins or tokens that don't actually have any value for businesses, don't actually have any chance of it surviving. And everybody is really kind of almost like it's a fad buying into all these ICOs, but eventually when they start crashing, people will learn their lesson and will never do it again. And generally, that's kind of what regulators, that's about what happens in real life too, where something happens, people get into kind of a fad situation where they buy a lot of stuff, then that thing crashes and collapses, people learn their lesson, never do it again. But that's about also the time when regulators come in and pass legislation saying this is illegal to do. And generally by then it's already too late, and by then people already learned their lesson anyway. So with regards to the legislators, the Justice Department going in to investigate these, and oh, one thing I wanted also to point out with regards to the whole idea of pump and dump, that's not really a way to make money long term. In fact, it's one way to kind of lose money. It's kind of like gambling, where you're doing it until people realize that you're actually doing it, and chances are that by the time people realize, you probably already screwed up and lost all your money. In fact, that actually happened with the silver market back in, I believe, 1970s. There were two silver brothers. They were trying to create a get a market dominance in silver. They're kind of trying to create a monopoly on it. So what they were doing was they were buying up silver, selling, buying and selling, and trying to pump the market up to where they would be able to acquire as much silver as they could. The problem with the market is that the market always has two parties involved, and when the competing party figured out what they were doing, they basically started trading against these silver brothers. So even though what these brothers were doing was, it wasn't really illegal per se, I don't think, but even though they were trying to take control of the market, as soon as the opposite side realized exactly what their trade strategies were, it started trading opposite of them and taking advantage of knowing what they're doing and basically bankrupted them, making them lose all their silver. In the same way, the pump and dump stuff, there might be some people who might lose a little bit of money on small coins that get pumped up and then dumped. You know, those people, yeah, they get hurt, but it's still a valuable lesson. But overall, especially with the larger currencies that a lot of people make, if somebody's pumping up the currencies and dumping them, other people, if they learn about it, they can just wait for when the pump is done and then just buy it up when those other guys dump them. So what happens is those guys are expecting to dump the currency and make a lot of money, but the rest of the market just ends up buying their coins at a discount and taking their money instead. So, yes, there are issues where some minor people might get hurt, but that's life, that's how we learn. And personally, I think that it's much better for us to learn, to actually let things play out so we can learn, and so that we all become wiser and do not make mistakes again, as opposed to us having to pay to these agencies and having the entire world be really, really complacent, thinking that they're being taken care of, where, as we know throughout history, these agencies have failed quite terribly throughout our times, and nobody learns their lesson either. Like, you ask most people, what's the lesson of 2008? I don't know, don't trust banks, I guess. That's about it. But I mean, if you really study what happened, there are so many lessons in that entire scenario, but most people just don't know about them because they just expect everybody else to take care of them. And that kind of brings back to the whole point of, you know, the articles claiming that now the regulators, the adults, are coming into the space to figure things out. But, I mean, that alone makes it sound like we're all just kids and we need adults to hold our hands and manage us and stuff. And that's not what, I don't think that's what most of us are. We're not kids. We know how to handle ourselves. We know how to deal with things ourselves. We know how to learn our lessons. And if we get a couple of bumps and scrapes along the way, I'm sure we'll be okay. We'll grow up from it. And sorry about that. Wow. I didn't almost get into an accident, but people in front of me almost did. Sorry about that. We're driving right now from Toronto to Montreal, and cars in front of us suddenly stopped. Luckily, I had some pretty good traction control and wasn't following too closely. Everybody else okay?
Yeah, I'm just finding my insulin and everything else wherever it went.
Okay, well, I'm sure it's still in a car someplace. But anyway, yeah, we learn from our mistakes and we should be able to continue so. And thankfully, Bitcoin will actually bring that kind of world in where there's no way to control it. So the best way, well, also kind of a warning to everybody else, don't trust or rely on regulators when it comes to anything cryptocurrency related, because it's specifically designed to go around them. So do your own homework, do your own research. Don't trust anybody unless you actually know who they are and what they're doing. And invest safely and I guess keep growing with that and keep learning. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Try to make the rest of the trip without any such crazy surprises or whatever. Bye.